Isn't the Lord's presence been amazing?
Yes.
We're not dependent on, you know, sometimes as a pastor you can say, oh, but people are on holiday and they're not in church. I'm not too fussed about that. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes, we are dependent on people because the church is people. It's not the building. So while we miss our family, that's a way. We're just so grateful to the Lord for coming and visiting with us this morning. Amen? And it's precious times when He visits. But some of you, as I came and stood by you, just such anointing. And I trust that you'll take what the Lord has given you and run with it. And it'll bring you a freshness and a newness as you go into the end of the year. So let me carry on. Otherwise, I'm going to finish it up past 11. The times we live in are difficult times, aren't they? Who's had a tough year? Can I see a show of hands? Who, when you look around at circumstances and what's going on, I mean, Donald Trump declaring Jerusalem as the capital. I mean, okay, what is that saying? This is going to cause problems. It's end times. We look at our governments. Our governments are struggling. Governments all over the world are struggling. Difficulties. We look closer. We look into our congregation. Prayed for Shirley in excruciating pain. There's people here in this congregation battling with cancer. Let me just move my Bible here. There's people battling with financial troubles. So it's a time that we require faith. And I did something, but it didn't get on because our regulars are not there. But the title of this message today is Audacious and Tenacious Faith. Who knows what the word audacious means? Don't worry, if you don't know, you'll know just now. You know, whether we look at the world, whether we look at a country, whether we look in our household, we'll find that there are times of challenge. Now, this is not a negative confession. This is just a statement of fact, right? So I'm not speaking negative things over you. We need to have faith. These are times where Jesus wrote in Luke 11:22, he didn't write it, he spoke to his disciples. He said, have faith in God. Simple, four words, have faith in God. These are times when we need supernatural faith. We need a faith that is strong, a faith that is going to stick it through the difficulties. In Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking about end times, and we look at the signs of the times, and they can be quite concerning. Somebody sent out a WhatsApp message again, saying all these things are happening. But so what? So what if all these things are happening? We are people of faith. We know they're going to happen. We need to stand up in faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 10 to 13, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. That's the world we live in today. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. That's the world we live in today. And because lawlessness will abound, that's the world we live in today. The love of many will grow cold. Have a look around you. Amen? That's the world we live in today. The love of many have grown cold. The things of the world are far more important than the things of God. And then he said this in verse 13, but he who endures to the end will be saved. We need to endure, church. We need to endure regardless of what we're going through. We need to endure regardless of what we see happening in the world. We need to endure even though we see our brother and sister slipping into the world. We need to love them back. We need to encourage them back. But we cannot turn our back on God just because everybody else is doing so, can we? So the times we live in are times when we need to be steadfast in our faiths. We need an audacious and tenacious faith. We need to take, you know, a bulldog. If it bites something, it gets locked jaw. Have you heard that? Sometimes a bulldog will get locked jaw, and then it won't let go. Sometimes it costs that bulldog its life. We need to be like bulldogs. We need to take hold of our faith and get some locked jaw. Amen. Instead of letting the winds and the waves pound us around and toss this way and toss that, run to this church, run to that church, look for an answer, come to God. We need to be steadfast in our faith. Can I hear an amen? So what does it mean to be audacious? Audacious means to show a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks with our faith. Surprisingly bold. Who's ever done something surprisingly bold? Maybe you took a surprisingly bold risk and got out of bed this morning. Amen. Because everybody else was still snoring. Okay, I'm just exaggerating. But it's somebody who's willing to take a surprisingly bold risk about something. Other words for audacious are daring. We need to be daring in our faith. Fearless, intrepid, brave, unafraid, unflinching, courageous, valiant. Remember there was at the back of the Sunday Times for years, for those of us that are a bit older, Prince Valiant, he was valiant. He was a hero. We need to be heroic in our faith. That's how tough. We've got to be like that bulldog, but we've got to be heroic with our faith. Even reckless. Sometimes we need to display a reckless faith. When others are saying, no, it can't be done, we need to say, no, it can be done. That's what audacity means. Experts said it was humanly impossible to run the mile in below 4 minutes. And yet, they said our bone structure is wrong. We're not created right. It's impossible. Even great athletes can't do it. And yet, in 1954, on May the 6th, a man by the name of Roger Bannister ran the 4 minute mile. Do you know how many times it's been run since? Many times. But the human race needed to come to the understanding that they could run a 4 minute mile. They said many times, it's impossible to go to the moon. Right now, they're probably saying it's impossible to go to Mars. But with faith, we can do anything. Amen? That was maybe a bad example, but it's the truth. Joshua was a man who had audacious faith. Have you got your Bibles here? Turn with me into the book of Joshua. I was told I mustn't start reading so quickly, so I'll give you a minute, half a minute, because we're late. It's my fault. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12-14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Joshua. Okay, for those of you who can't find it. Sure. I didn't even get a giggle there. Do we need to learn the books of the Bible? I'm just joking. Right, it says, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. Sorry, I can hear you still turning there. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. I don't even know how to say that. Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man and the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua was audacious in his faith. I mean, what a cheek did he have. He spoke to God and then he spoke to the sun. He didn't say, oh Lord, please will you tell the sun. He said, Lord, I need help, probably. And then he said, sun, blow the hustle. Okay, he probably didn't speak in Afrikaans. All right. Sun, stay there. Sit, stay. And he said, moon, sit, stay. He had audacious faith. We tell it as a Bible story, but it truly happened. It's been proved scientifically, and I'm not going to go into that right now. It's actually been proved scientifically that there's a time in space when the sun is out of kilter with the way it should have been. Joshua had audacious faith. What problem have you got? What battle are you fighting and you're running out of time and you need to say, sun, stand still, I need to finish this. Josh, before you go on holiday, you need to say, day stretch. I'm not joking. He said to me this morning, they got pressure at work. We're going away. He's booked his plane ticket. He's saying, I'm going to have to work at the coast. I say, sun, stand still, make those days longer so that you can get through your work. Amen. There's examples in our lives where we need to say, sun, stand still. What are you trusting the Lord for? Do you have audacious faith? Are you willing to step out and do something as ridiculous as speaking to the sun? We can, church. We can. And I'll give you more examples just now. Elijah, James 5:17. We know it well. Elijah was a man just like us. Okay, he wasn't a woman. He was a man, right? But woman, people, human beings like us. We can have faith like Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. 42 weeks, it didn't rain. Let me tell you, we're in trouble in this country. The Western Cape is as dry as anything. We need a man with a faith like Elijah to say, it's time for you to rain. And we can do so because Elijah did it. And then if you think it was a coincidence, when he was done, when the 3.5 years was over, he spoke again and the rain came. But here's another thing. In 1 Kings, I'm just going to go for the sake of time. 1 Kings 18 verse 42 to 43 and verse 45. So Ahab went to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said, what did he pray for? He prayed for rain. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. So he prayed with expectance. He was looking for the cloud. Then the servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. That's the problem with us. We pray and then we forget about it. And we say, oh, but God's not hearing me. And so we say, well, I'll try again. And we pray again. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. After the 3rd time, he said, well, obviously, this isn't God's plan. This isn't God's time. Echema op. Amen? How many times have you done that? No amens. You don't want to admit that you've done that. I've done it. All right? 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. And Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. You see, the servant saw a cloud the size of a hand. And then Elijah said to the king, you better go. It's coming. And soon there was a terrific, can you imagine? We see terrific rainstorms now with ice and all sorts, wind, and it's dark, and the pieces of hail are this size. And we run. That king only had a horse and chariot. And Elijah outran him. Isn't that amazing? But he still had to have faith. Even though he'd spoken and it dried up. When he spoke again, he had to have faith. He had to ask 7 times. The first time he asked once. Isn't that interesting? So God is saying we need to have a tenacious faith. A faith that expects the impossible. And we need a faith that hangs on like a bulldog that doesn't give up. Amen. So we need to be audacious, be willing enough to say, I can command the clouds. And then we need to be tenacious enough to pray 7 times and expect God to move. The first time he prayed, he expected God to move. Have we limited ourselves by saying, I'm just a human being? I can't do this. I'm not God. Have we prayed once or twice and given up? Or are we willing to pray audacious prayers every day and trust God to do the impossible? Let's stir up some audacious and tenacious faith. Jesus himself is an example of tenacious and audacious faith. I said it as we did the communion. Jesus, when he walked on earth, as much as he was the Son of God, was a man like you and I. He wasn't God when he walked the earth. He walked as a man. It's only man that can be sacrificed for man's sins. Only man's blood. God cannot pay for man's sins. God's Son, in the form of a man, had to pay for man's sins. Does that make sense? He walked. Walked with his disciples. And his disciples in Mark 4, verse 39 to 40, were on the sea. And the wind and the waves were tossing that little boat around. And he was in the boat. And they came to him and they said, don't you care? And it says, yeah. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. This was a man. It was Jesus Christ, the man. And he spoke to the wind and the waves and said, peace be still. And it was still. And then the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Do you know what I read into that when he said, how is it that you have no faith? I read into it him saying to them, you could have done this. Why did I have to wake up from my sleep? Why did you wake me up? Why don't you have any faith? That's what Jesus was saying to him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He was saying to him, you can have this kind of faith. You could have spoken to the wind and the rain. And you lost out because you didn't have enough faith. Church, do we have enough faith? The problem is we think it's, these are Bible stories. But it's time that you and I stood up and started having audacious faith. Starting to believe God to do the things that are not natural. We can, church. Come and see us still. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Do you believe that you can do that? Amen. You and I can ask God to do supernatural things. We do it all the time. Let me tell you, when we're busy, when you're in your work, say, oh Lord, I don't know how to do this. Help me. And 5 months' time, you've done it. Amen. And you've forgotten that God helped you. He did something supernatural right there and then. Because you weren't smart enough to do it. So supernaturally, God came and did it. Oh Lord, show me where I hid my keys. Oh Lord, I'm betting. I've just recently put an alarm system in our house. Well, I tried. The first time I tried, I gave up because it went over my head. And then I actually asked people to give me quotes. And clearly there's far too much work for people in this country because of the two people I asked for quotes, not one bothered to reply to me. So they clearly got too much work. So I don't know when people say the economy is bad. But anyway, so I went and I said, well, let me try again. And it's complete and it's done. And I did everything, even the complex stuff. Do you think I did that on my own strength? Not a chance. I cannot tell you how many times I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I can't see this thing, where to put it in. Because I'm starting to battle a bit. God works supernaturally for us all the time. And yet we can trust him for the little things, but when it comes to faith for something big that we need, I don't know how to do it. Of course you do. Of course you do, church. You've got the ability. God has given you that ability. Does Jesus have to ask us today, where's your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Or are we willing to stand up in our time of need and declare and command the wind and waves that are going on in our lives, stop now in Jesus' name? And you know what? So what if I've said it 15, 100 times and it didn't work? What if the 101st time it does work? Can you imagine the testimony you'll have? Amen. Jesus had tenacious faith. Abraham. Audacious type of faith is the type of faith that Abraham had. It's the Abraham type of faith. He was around 100 years old when he had a child. Romans 4 verse 16 to 22. Now listen, because this chapter, it contains such truth. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Our faith is there, not because we're such perfect Christians, not because we're such powerful believers, but because of God's grace. He gives us faith to trust him for the impossible. Do you have grace today, church? Can I see a show of hands? Those who have received grace. We've all got grace. And who hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Let me see. I said, who hasn't received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Auntie Patty, I'll pray for you after this. That took faith, church. It took supernatural faith because you received something you couldn't see. But let me tell you, your life changed. And you can feel it. Your faith achieved something. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seeds. Who's all the seed? The Jews. Do you think it's just the Jews? I'll show you it's not. Not only of those who are of the law, that was the Jews, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. You and I are of the faith of Abraham. We've been grafted into the vine. We've got Father Abraham's faith. Amen. That's why we have an inheritance. We are not under the law. We're saved by grace through faith. We've got Abrahamic faith. Amen. So it carries on to say this. Who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, not just the Jewish nation, in the presence of him who you believe. Now listen to this. God, who gives life to the dead. God can give life to death. He can make you alive again and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I'm trying to speak too quick and I'm falling on my words. I'm sorry. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. That's audacious faith. Contrary to hope. In other words, hope says it can't be done, but he believed contrary to hope. Hope is believing for something we don't see. But when I'm contrary to hope, I'm starting to believe the supernatural because I can't even picture it in my mind. Contrary to hope, God can meet you in your place of need. Hallelujah. Amen. Contrary to hope, cancer can flee. Contrary to hope, you can get that job you've been looking for 3 years. Contrary to hope, God can heal your marriage. Contrary to hope, God can bring your children back to you. What can I say? What more? Contrary to hope, God can work in your workplace and change things. Contrary to hope, God can give you joy and break that depression that has got a hold on your life. You may say, I've been hoping forever, but nothing has happened. God says, contrary to hope, I'll do it. That's the kind of faith that Abraham, it's audacious faith. You just need to believe. Contrary to hope, Abraham in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. You see, God gave him a word. Many of you are sitting here, God's given you many words. And you're saying, but it hasn't happened, Lord. When will it ever, I'm going to die. No, you won't. You've got to have some faith. Trust God to allow it to happen. In verse 19 it says, and not being weak in faith. Don't be weak in faith, church. He did not consider his own body already dead. He was 100 years old. There was no seed left there. Contrary to hope, he hoped. He said, I can do it. I could make you laugh, but I don't want to. You might think I'm being irreverent, so I won't be irreverent. But today they'll go to the doctor to get help. He didn't need help. He went to God, and God helped him. And he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Which woman at 90 can have a baby? Come on. It's impossible. But Abraham believed. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Are we struggling with unbelief, church? But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. Isn't that a beautiful chapter on faith? And therefore it was accounted to him as righteousness. God saw Abraham's faith. Contrary to hope. The things were dead. He knew it. He knew his body was dead on the inside. He knew he wasn't capable. He believed God in any case. He said, I know God. And he applied that same faith when he went to the mountain that day with Isaac and was meant to sacrifice him. And God provided a ram. So Abraham, time and again, applied that contrary to hope type of faith. It's tenacious faith. It's audacious faith. God says, you can have it. You've got it. You can apply it. You can be victorious like you've never known. There's victory for your church. But the church doesn't see miracles the way it used to. It's time we started seeing miracles. You know what's limiting us? Our faith. It's all. It's all. It's all there. God says, it's, yeah, you can have it. He was not weak in the faith. We mustn't be weak in the faith. Was it only for Abraham? In verse 23 of Romans 4 and 24 it says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, for you and me. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead. What was written there for you and me so that we can take hold of hope, contrary to hope, and we can start seeing God moving in supernatural ways in our lives. You willing to trust him contrary to hope? Are you in your sick body willing to say contrary to hope, contrary to the pain I feel, I trust God? God's saying you need to do that. And I'm almost done. So maybe I'll make my 11 o'clock deadline. I've got about a minute. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning. What dead dream do we need to speak to life today? What lie, it can't be done, have we been listening to? What impossible need have you got today that you've just accepted that you'll never get an answer? What have people said about your needs that you believed instead of believing God at his word? Have you taken the doctor's word as the final word on your situation? That's not in line with God's word. Have you given up and stopped looking for work because you're unemployed and you've been unemployed for 3 years? God says, don't give up. Contrary to hope, trust in me. It's time. I'm going to move amongst my people. But you need to have faith, audacious and tenacious faith. Tenacity means to never give up. During the Battle of Britain, Winston Churchill was quoted as saying, never give up, never give up, never give up. They were actually losing the battle. They were losing the fight. They were going to be taken over. If the Americans hadn't stepped in, the world as we know it would have been very different today. But they never gave up. You and I must never give up. It might seem you're about to lose the battle. But don't worry. There's a war that's good. It's already won. Jesus won it on the cross. Amen. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living Savior. There's the story of the widow that they kept on nagging the judge. And finally the judge gave into it. Jesus told that parable. Why? He wanted to encourage you and I to have a faith that's tenacious, that doesn't give up, that is audacious, that expects the impossible. He wants us to have that kind of faith. Why am I telling you this at this time of year? Why am I telling you this at this time of year? Because God has still got stuff that he wants to bless you with between now and the end of the year. There's a year lying ahead of us that are going to have big challenges. We're all happy because it's the end of the year. New Year's coming. What's different? You need to have a consistent and a persistent and a continuous and a tenacious and an audacious faith going into the new year. Stand up, church. In Hebrews 11 verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God will reward us for our faith. He will answer our prayers. We will see supernatural things happen. We will see the sea open and us walking through on dry land. It's just an example. What do you need to trust God for that seems impossible? What have you been trusting him for years about that hasn't happened? He's encouraging you again this morning. He says, "My people have faith in me." You heard earlier on in the prophetic word how much he loves us. You may think, "I've got it wrong. I've messed up." He says, "Come on, have some faith. You can call, you can speak to the sea and it'll be still. You can speak to those waves, they'll go and lie down. You can speak to that rain and call it into being. You can speak to it again and tell it to stop. You can speak to that hell and say, 'Miss my car.'" Amen? We've all got testimonies like it. We can expect God. I'm expecting God to fill this church. Amen? Not for my benefit, for the kingdom's sake. But I won't say that I won't enjoy having a full church. It'd be a lie. Amen? God gives us the desires of our heart. Let's close our eyes. If you've got something you're believing the Lord for this morning, and I want to ask the worship team to go up. If you've got something you're believing the Lord for, something impossible, just lift up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. Let's trust the Lord. If you just need to trust the Lord, if you've been praying for something for years, lift up your hand. If you feel that your faith has started to become limited, that you're starting to hope for that which is only that which you can hope for, instead of being like Abraham and one wishing for that which is contrary to hope, that which is impossible, lift up your hand. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for being like the disciples in the boat where you said, "Why is it that you have no faith?" Without faith, we cannot please you. We pray that we'll become God pleasers, that we'll have audacious and tenacious faith. Lord, I loose in the spiritual realm right now answers to the prayers that these people have been praying. I loose supernatural moves of your Spirit. I loose things that people are going to come and say, "God did this. There's just no ways it could have been anything but God." I loose it over our people's lives. I loose work. I loose finances. I loose joy. I loose healing. Lord God, I loose better work circumstances. I loose the breaking of the bondage of depression and oppression of the devil over this people. And I bind everything that's the opposite, unemployment, with a lack of finances, lack of joy, lack of health. I bind those things. I bind lack of faith in the name of Jesus. And I loose audacious and tenacious faith over this congregation. I loose it in the heavenlies right now in Jesus' name. I speak to it as Joshua spoke to the sun. And I say, "Sun, stand still. Miracles take place. We break the bondage of the enemy. We bind it in Jesus' name." The prayers that have been taking their time to come, where the enemy has been messing, we cut that off right now in Jesus' name. And we call answers to our prayers into being in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Bless this house. Bless every person that's here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.